105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Cambridge 105.
It's pretty colourless, but it's a low, sleek, almost chic thing. And the way they've got it, I think it looks almost like they have these sort of sheets around it that have tracery on it. And it looks for all the world like a sort of public transport mosque, because it looks just like Arabian tracery. It isn't, I shouldn't think, but it does look like it.
I know what you mean. I've seen a picture of that, and I know yeah. exactly what you mean for that. When I went, it was still late last year sometime. It's still pretty much a building site at that time. The actual services which are going to be stopping there, I know there's been a lot of criticism that there perhaps aren't enough services, or they're not going to enough places, but I would figure there'd be some logistical reasons behind all of that.
Yes, they didn't want to upset timetables this year.
Because it's coming in with the new timetable, of course, the opening of the station.
Well, that's right, yes. I mean, really, it's a sort of modest retuning, because they've got two major timetable changes coming up. Thameslink is due to start December of next year, all being well, and that will have a radical effect on all the trains that go to King's Cross and come from King's Lynn as well, because that's the King's Lynn service, broadly speaking. The Liverpool Street trains do go there in the peak hours, but not during the day. And the other one is that Anglia itself is going to get rid of all its rolling stock, north to south, east to west, and they're having a completely new set of stuff in from Bombardier in Derby, and the rest of them are coming from Stadler in Switzerland. And that will generate a completely new timetable right across East Anglia, border to border, so to speak, or A1 to coast. And there's no much point in doing anything, making a radical change now. And in which case, even if they did, there are so many conflicts that have got to be worked out. Places like, and I'm sure you've heard this many times on this programme and other programmes, people batting on about Ely North Junction. But it really is the pivotal point of timetable planning for East Anglia. If a train can't get through there because it's conflicting with, say, a container train coming from Felixstowe, who have all bought and paid for track paths and have absolute right to be there, it gets very tricky.
So it's not just the people can look at the timetable and say, oh, there's a great big space there. Well, that space might actually be for an untimetabled train which is delivering some very important freight across the country.
Oh, indeed, yes. And the gap may look fine, and it may get you to Ely, but you'll suddenly find there isn't a gap after Ely. Or if it gets to Ely, it then goes on to Peterborough and suddenly has to stand outside Peterborough because a lot of other platforms there are being occupied.
So if I was going to get onto a train at Cambridge North, where might I be able to go to without having to change too much?
Well, first of all, you'll be able to go to Ely and any station along the line to Norwich, because all their trains will stop and will indeed be the very first one to stop on Sunday morning when the service starts at, I think that one is 8:55, the very first. So I'm sure there'll be a bunch of regulars down there for that, regulars who go to those sort of events. Others will be partly provided by Great Anglia. Some will be provided by GN Thameslink, as they call themselves now.
So that's Great Northern,
that's
then,
Great
in
Northern,
other words.
Yeah, Great Northern Thameslink. And between them, there's a mix. I can't give you the exact details, and I don't think anybody's sitting at the radio waiting to write all these down.
I'm sure that there's
the
copies of the timetables available at the station for those people who want that thing, and online, of course, these days too.
I mean, naturally, there'll be more of them in the peak hour. And I think the first one that stops, though, is actually Greater Anglia train. And there'll be one or two that will come from the Cambridge siding at Coldham's Lane and go up there and then turn round, so to speak, and will start there, effectively.
So there's going to be a mix, then, of Great Northern trains into King's Cross
and
Greater Anglia trains into Liverpool Street as well,
right,
and obviously
yes.
In the opposite direction, as you've mentioned, up towards Ely and perhaps King's Lynn
and
as well.
And I should add that when the big timetable change on Greater Anglia takes place, when they have all this new kit, there will be a new service. Well, it'll actually replace the current Norwich to Cambridge service. That will go through to Stansted. That'll have to be completely retimed, because that will add about an hour and a half to the current time it would have spent in Cambridge in order to get back to Cambridge and to go back to Norwich again. And that will be stopping there, which will be very useful. So people who are having to fly out to meet business contacts will be able to go straight to Stansted from Cambridge North.
I'm wondering what kind of effect that Cambridge North is going to have on the original Cambridge station as to whether or not it will displace a number of people who might have come into the station here in Cambridge and then by other means, be that bus, be that bike perhaps, or some sort of car or other motor journey.
I think I would have thought from the city council's point of view, what they want is to see a massive reduction in the migration of passengers right across Cambridge from north and northwest Cambridge, because it's a pain for them to do. It's bad enough in the morning doing it, particularly if you're doing it between 8 o'clock and nine. Going back in the evening is probably even worse, unless you arrive quite late. And on a winter's night, that's no fun at any time. So I think they are hoping that. And certainly the railway authorities and the government in particular do hope that Cambridge North will generate its own traffic, because it's not just based on transferring people from Cambridge Central, if I can call it that, to Cambridge North. It's actually generating its own thing. It needs its own. It's got its own business case in which they're hoping to do that. But certainly when I was talking to Alan Neville, who is the, well, for want of a more elaborate term, is the area manager for Anglia in this very extensive area around here, he was taking us round last week, and he said the night before he had done a meet Greater Anglia and find out about Cambridge North session at the Science Park. And he said, we were inundated with inquiries. I think he said they had well over 150. And he said the number of times he heard people saying, you know, if this works, I'm giving up the car coming into Cambridge. Well, that'd be music to many people's ears, particularly those who suffer from pollution.
No, absolutely. The benefits right the way across the board. Now, I know there's other stations which are being talked about in this area, and we'll come on to talk about that in just a few moments. But it does seem to be, all of a sudden, we're building new train stations. Isn't this happening in other parts of the country as well?
It has happened in quite a few. I mean, you've got, I suppose the most recent one was a completely new, bringing an old line that had been closed a long time ago, back in the 60s, from Edinburgh to, just trying to think where it goes now, Gala Shields. Back into operation again, and that's been a great success, but they have found that the success has actually been embarrassing, because they haven't had enough trains on to service the line. They get packed out. Sometimes the old units pack up because it's quite steeply graded. So it's not an unmitigated success, but it's something that can be dealt with.
We just kind of beg the question sometimes as to why the line's closed in the first place, but I suspect that's possibly an area where we shouldn't necessarily go into.
Well, I saw a figure this afternoon, just by way of thing. In the mid-60s, Cambridge Station had a footfall of 1.5 million. Today, it's around 9.
Oh, my goodness. No wonder they needed to extend the ticket hall.
So that tells you quite a lot.
Absolutely.
In fact, it actually went up to 10 last year, may well be 10 again at the end of this year. We don't know.
Amazes me at Cambridge Station, actually, is how all of those new coffee shops opposite seem to be quite full already at many, many, many times. So the new stations, we've heard mentioned Soham as a possibility, and also, of course, Addenbrookes as well, and people seem to be very keen on that one.
Well, Soham requires a lot of the work that has been slated for the Ely area. They have to put in loops. They want to double track the short bit that runs from relatively short but very critical bit that runs from Soham to the junction of the Cambridge line, just south of Ely station. And then they've got problems with they've got to realign the track at Ely North. Many, many years ago, in the late 80s, BR was forced to cut back. So instead of having just double track going through to Norwich and going through to King's Lynn, they turned them into single-feed loops. So a train coming into Ely, for example, from Norwich, would have to wait for one going to King's Lynn and would certainly have to wait for one going to Norwich to get off that little bit of single track. Very short, but critical. It would mean you'll be able to operate trains both to King's Lynn and to Norwich, and they can pass at that point.
So those doing the planning now have to make amends for the decisions which were made 20, 30 years ago.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Not just beaching then is responsible for these things.
I mean, it's like the single track we have all the way from Cambridge right through to Dullingham and Newmarket. That wasn't single track. That was all double. till the late 80s, but they took it all up. They thought, oh, well, it's the sort of service we can't really afford. It'll probably fall by the wayside.
Mm.
Quite the opposite. It's now 2 an hour and is usually well patronised.
No, absolutely. And the Addenbrooke station is interesting because there's businesses who, by the sounds of things, AstraZeneca, I think, amongst them, would be more than happy to chip in to get that station built.
Yes, well, John Laing have said that they would like to be involved in actually building the station, would look at a package that was commercially attractive to them. They're not so interested in doing all the adjoining stuff because a lot of track work would be involved there. But the actual infrastructure at the station they are interested in. AstraZeneca don't have that sort of money, but might make a contribution, we don't know. But a lot of that is contingent on which route, east-west, if it's approved. And I'm pretty, it's not sort of nerdish gung-ho-ness on my part, but I think given that it has the support and has had for several years now of all the major politicians and parties, that they really want to link London, Oxford and Cambridge together so those journeys can be made by researchers and, in so doing, be able to sow the seeds for industry between Cambridge and Oxford, and also changing people's travel patterns. Because if you think about it, you cross four main lines going that way. So just for the ordinary traveller, who has no connection with either university or London University, would be able to get off at Bedford and go straight, with one change at Bedford, go straight to Derby, Leicester, Nottingham, Sheffield, and then get off at Milton Keynes. And, of course, you've got the whole of northwest England opening up. Liverpool, Manchester, North Wales, right through to Preston, Glasgow.
It's astounding.
Change. And you can also change at Oxford to give it its on the same platform. And with one change of train there, you would be on your way to Southampton and Bournemouth, and maybe once that was open, they might be putting in other services, we'd be going further into the West Country.
Who'd have thought of that? I never would have realised that I'd be doing an interview on the revival of the railways.
Yes.
But it's a good place to be. Chris, thanks very much.